It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
When my husband and I built our dream place on the prairie almost 40 years ago, a fruit orchard was a big part of the site plan. In fact, even before the house was little more than a gleam in his architect's eye, we had laid out a four-row shelter belt and created a ditching and watering system for an orchard that would include peaches, apricots, pears, apples, cherries, and plums. The trees were planted not long after, and thus began years of watering, mowing, cultivating, mulching, pruning, spraying, and ultimately replacing. Through those years, the fruit we have received as reward for our labor has been negligible. I figure that each peach or apple we've picked with our own hands is the most expensive fruit in history. Adding labor costs to all the upfront expenses would put the price of a homegrown peach in the astronomical range. And that doesn't figure in the replacement costs, as our southern plains seem to be visited by Arctic freezes every decade or so. Realizing the difficulties of successful fruit production, but not being willing to give up the desire for homegrown fruit, pies, jams, and jellies, I decided several years ago to strike out in new and hopefully more fruitful gardening directions. I decided to think small in terms of the resulting product. So I began to think of blackberries and strawberries, raspberries, currants, gooseberries, and wild plums. Out with some of the orchard, and in with more of the berry patch, the bramble, and the thicket. So a few years ago, I finally did what I'd been threatening for years. I started a briar patch that would make Brer Rabbit proud. I enlarged the strawberry bed, planted a dozen blackberry plants and a half dozen raspberry bushes, and I transplanted a bunch of sandhill plums. I think one reason I was sold on this blackberry adventure has to do with my need to bring back part of my gardening past. As a kid, I would summer at my grandparents' farm in southern Oklahoma. For upwards of a month each year, I would live in another part of the world, a place of evening rain showers and humidity that gave birth to tangled greenery and ticks, to saltwater creeks and the rotten egg smell of sulfur that came from the territory of drilling rigs and oil wells. It was a place of pecan trees, stinging nettles, and blackberries. My grandmother and I would don our straw hats and long-sleeve shirts, then trek along the cow path through the pasture to the wild briar patch. Ever watchful for snakes sunning themselves on trailing vines, we'd fill our pails and bellies. We returned, stained with sweat and juice, to the pump outside the kitchen door where we'd strip down and wash away the chiggers. Then we'd survey the mounded fruits of our day's labor and see the cobblers of tomorrow. On a clear night, when there were no storm clouds over Tornado Alley, we'd sleep under the stars, and the next morning would be met with bowls of blackberries topped with sugar and milk. The memory of those blackberry days leaves me longing for that sweet, tart taste. Now I know that Thomas Wolfe was right, that I can't go home again. But when my briar patch tangles its way through springtime and begins to produce a summer of fruitful delights, I know I can always visit there for a little while.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.